Turkey could cut off Islamic State supply lines, so why doesn't it? By David Graeber, The Guardian. In the wake of the murderous attacks in Paris, we can expect Western heads of state to do what they always do in such circumstances. Declare total and unremitting war on those who brought it about. But they don't actually mean it. They've had the means to uproot and destroy Islamic State within their hands for over a year now. They've simply refused to make use of it. In fact, as the world watched leaders making statements of implacable resolve at the G20 summit in Antalya, these same leaders are hobnobbing with Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, a man whose tacit political, economic and even military support contributed to ISIS's ability to perpetrate the atrocities in Paris, not to mention an endless stream of atrocities inside the Middle East. How could ISIS be eliminated? In the region, everyone knows. All it would really take would be to unleash the largely Kurdish forces of the YPG in Syria and the PKK guerrillas in Iraq and Turkey. These are, currently, the main forces actually fighting ISIS on the ground. They proved extraordinarily militarily effective, oppose every aspect of ISIS's reactionary ideology. But instead, YPG-controlled territory in Syria finds itself placed under a local embargo by Turkey, and PKK forces are under continual bombardment by the Turkish Air Force. Not only has Erdogan done almost everything he can to cripple the forces actually fighting ISIS, there is considerable evidence that his government have been at least tacitly aiding ISIS itself. It might seem outrageous to suggest that a NATO member like Turkey would in any way support an organisation that murders Western civilians in cold blood. That would be like NATO supporting Al-Qaeda. But in fact, there is reason to believe that Erdogan's government does support the Syrian branch of Al-Qaeda, Jabhat al-Nusra, too, along with any number of other rebel groups that share its conservative Islamist ideology. The Institute for the Study of Human Rights at Columbia University has compiled a long list of evidence of Turkish support for ISIS in Syria. And then there are Erdogan's actual stated positions. Back in August, the YPG, fresh from their victories in Kobani and Gisbi, were poised to seize Drablus, the last ISIS-held town on the Turkish border, that the terror organisation had been using to resupply its capital in Raqqa with weapons, materials and recruits. ISIS supply lines passed directly through Turkey. Commentators predicted that with Drablus gone, Raqqa would soon follow. Erdogan reacted by declaring Drablus a red line. If the Kurds attacked, his forces would intervene militarily against the YPG. So Drablus remains in terrorist hands this day, under de facto Turkish military protection. How has Erdogan got away with this? Mainly by claiming those fighting ISIS are terrorists themselves. It is true that PKK did fight a sometimes ugly guerrilla war with Turkey in the 1990s, which resulted in it being placed on the international terror list. For the past 10 years, however, it has completely shifted strategy, renouncing separatism and adopting a strict policy of never harming civilians. The PKK was responsible for rescuing thousands of Yazidi civilians threatened with genocide by ISIS in 2014, and its sister organisation, the YPG, are protecting Christian communities in Syria as well. Their strategy focuses on pursuing peace talks with the government, while encouraging local, democratic autonomy in Kurdish areas under the aegis of the HDP, originally a nationalist political party which has reinvented itself as the voice of a pan-Turkish democratic left. They have proved extraordinarily militarily effective, with their embrace of grassroots democracy and women's rights, oppose every aspect of ISIS's reactionary ideology. In June, HDP success at the polls denied Erdogan his parliamentary majority. Erdogan's response was ingenious. He called for new elections and declared he was going to war with ISIS, made one token symbolic attack on them, and then proceeded to unleash the full force of his military against the PKK forces in Turkey and Iraq, while denouncing the HDP as terrorist supporters for their association with them. There followed a series of increasingly bloody terrorist bombings inside Turkey, attacks attributed to ISIS, but which, for some mysterious reason, only ever seemed to target civilian activists associated with HDP. Victims have repeatedly reported police preventing ambulances evacuating the wounded, or even opening fire on survivors with tear gas. As a result, HDP gave up even holding political rallies in the weeks leading up to the new elections in November, for fear of mass murder. And enough HDP voters failed to show up at the polls that Erdogan's party secured a majority in parliament. The exact relationship between Erdogan's government and ISIS may be subject to debate, but on some things we can be relatively certain. Had Turkey placed the same kind of absolute blockade on ISIS terrorists as they did on Kurdish-held parts of Syria, let alone shown the same sort of benign neglect towards the PKK and YPG that had been offering to ISIS, that blood-stained caliphate would long since have collapsed, and arguably the Paris attacks may never have happened. And if Turkey were to do the same today, ISIS would probably collapse in a matter of months. Yet, has a single Western leader called on Erdogan to do this? The next time you hear one of those politicians declaring the need to crack down on civil liberties or immigrant rights because of the need for absolute war against terrorism, bear all this in mind. Their resolve, exactly as absolute as it is politically convenient. Turkey, after all, is a strategic ally. So after their declaration, they're likely to head off to share a friendly cup of tea with the very man who made it possible for ISIS to continue to exist.